Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore. Positive, we're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road all week long. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Win Donation, and the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding you the restaurant week is September 16th. Restaurant day is every day for me. As we're heading all around this week, we'll be in Howard County, Anne Arundel County, and then in Carroll County. On Wednesday, we'll be at Liberatore's in the afternoon. On Friday, we're going to be at a Rock Salt Grill in Westminster. And then on Tuesday, the 30th, to cap the tour off, we go back to our homeland of Dundalk in Costas, and we'll be joined by future governor Wes Moore, who I saw several times over the weekend in Ocean City, as well as Mickey Coachella, longtime comedian, and my friend who is celebrating the life of Brian Jack on Saturday night with the Child's Play reunion, and Pam Wood from the Baltimore Banner talking State House and elections and all that good stuff. The Baltimore Orioles have made themselves extremely relevant. Luke, how do I know this? Because I have gone to breweries. Many breweries. I'm at 26 or 27 now. We're not even, you know, to that many days in the month. Almost everywhere I've gone, there's been somebody wearing an Oriole hat in a brewery. So I've sort of taken note of this, whether it's Frederick or Cumberland or over the weekend in Ocean City and Berlin and Sinopuxen. If they're not wearing a Calvert Hall hat, and I thought maybe they're rooting for the Phoenix Cardinals or the Arizona Cardinals, they were rooting for the Orioles. Certainly the Little League thing on Sunday was cute. It was lovely. But beyond all of that, when these things get planned out, you thought, well, yeah, maybe they'll be 500 then. Maybe they could be 500. Maybe they could be something. Instead, they wind up on national TV in the middle of a pennant race and point themselves pretty well on Sunday night.
Yeah, you just said it. I mean, I can think back to the beginning of the season. I picked the Orioles to lose 97 games. And
name's not even Buster Olney.
Well, but when you consider how many games they had lost in the previous seasons, you know, that wasn't the most pessimistic outlook. But the one thing I did say, and this is where this goes back to what you said as far as when this game is put on the schedule, where it's like, all right, we're going to throw the Orioles a national TV bone. You know, they're not too far away from Williamsport. They have a home game against the Red Sox. We're going to make that the Little League Classic. And what I would have said is by that point in the season, Adley Rutschman will be here. Grayson Rodriguez should be here. You know, not anticipating him getting hurt, of course. Some other young guys will be here. And I would have told you the Orioles in August will be better than they are in April. Well, I didn't anticipate them really getting so much better in May and June. That's the difference. And continuing with that. So lots of fun. As you mentioned, as much as we pick on and beat up Major League Baseball for a lot of reasons and a lot of very justified reasons as it pertains to their product in 2022, this is a cool event. But as you mentioned, beyond the coolness of the event and seeing how these kids were gravitating to Adley Rutschman, who, by the way, is already getting a pretty neat following as a rookie, you know, and it really speaks to how high profile he was at the collegiate level.
I think Ripken would have gone down the hill in 82, right? Probably.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Cal would have been asking around for what the best technique is to go down the hill. So because that's just how Cal
Dude,
was.
I went down the Great Wall of China with Cal Ripken in a very similar device. So I witnessed it. So I have it on video. So I know Cal would have done it. So there, I'll check off on that.
But more importantly, a big win, a big series win for the Orioles. Jorge Mateo, who, you know, we've talked about a lot in terms of his defense, his speed. But I want to pass along what he's done, Nestor, because I think if you're watching on a nightly basis, you certainly see it. But to really see statistically what he's been, you go back to July 9th. So we're talking roughly a week before the All-Star break, right? The Orioles are playing well. They're in the midst of that 11-game winning streak. You know, things are going great for the team. But Mateo was hitting 192. You know, great glove, stealing a lot of bases, but the bat, you know, you saw a flash every now and then, but the bat wasn't there. But going back to July 10th, so we're talking, you know, a month and a half now, you know, roughly, you know, 34 games.
By the way, not just about a fifth of a season. A month and a half of pennant race baseball on a
good
team.
Sure, right? No question. But over his last 34 games, which covers 128 plate appearances, 322 average, he's slugging .612, an OPS of .971, 6 home runs, 9 doubles, 4 triples, 20 RBIs, and and all, he's stolen six bases.
It's Cedric Mullins' line from last year suddenly.
I right? mean, it just comes down to this. And look, I've been as guilty of this as anyone, and I'm not saying that he's going to be a foundational, you know, kind of centerpiece for them moving forward. But I think a lot of people like me have said, you know what, this guy looks like he could be a heck of a super utility player for them. We might be selling this kid short. And I'll remind everyone, this is a former top 100 prospect for 3 years running. You know, he was in the Padres system, you know, was in the Yankee system, and he never really got a chance to really play, right? And really establish himself. But this is a kid who was highly regarded by Baseball America and MLB.com and Baseball Prospectus. So talent has always been there for Jorge Mateo, but for him to do what he did again on Sunday night, huge three-run double in the last of the eighth when you're looking at another game where Tate gives up the home run as he goes out there for a third inning of work, which was kind of interesting and does speak to not so much me taking a huge issue with it with Brandon Hyde, but it just speaks to this is kind of where the bullpen is with Jorge Lopez having been traded. Felix Bautista stepped into the closer's role. That's great. You know, they're playing the Omar whistle. He's got the cool entrance. He's got the nasty fastball and split. No problem there, really, solo homer aside. But it's just that they had one less, one fewer strong link in that chain, in that bullpen. So that's really what's been the issue. They've had, Hyde's had to stretch these guys a little bit more than he'd like. And, you're looking at some guys like a Joey Crable, for example, or a Baker, whoever you're talking about, that, everyone had to step up in terms of facing a little bit tougher leverage. So for them to be in the position they were, where it's 2-2 and you're saying, oh, you don't want to lose this series. You're winning most of the night. Dean Kramer had a good outing for you. Mateo to deliver in the way that he did with a 3-run double. Just huge, an absolutely huge win for this team. And, they're hanging tough. We saw Kyle Stowers called up over the weekend. He's scuffled, struck out four times on Sunday night. He's going to have some swing and miss. That's always been part of his game. We'll see if
get called up on Friday. You come to the big leagues, you play in the ballpark, Boog's there, bobble, blah, 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 blah. Now you're playing in a little league park.
That's a lot.
It's been a little bit of a whirlwind four days for him. Leave that kid alone for a little while. Let him go play, right?
And there's no better lesson than Adley Rutschman, right? Adley Rutschman, first 3 weeks, he wasn't looking so great, right? I had people actually suggest to me, on Twitter, do you send him back to AAA to get his confidence back? I'm like, no. First of all, if he lost his confidence already, then the Orioles made a terrible mistake drafting him 1-1 if he's scuffling for his first couple weeks. But Adley Rutschman, as I just threw out Mateo's numbers, Adley Rutschman going back to June 15th, which was the night he hit his first major league home run, .293 average, a .943 OPS, 20 doubles, 8 home runs, 25 runs batted in. He's walked 35 times compared to 36 strikeouts. In this day and age, there are not many players who walk as much as they strike out, in that kind of a context where he's drawing a lot of walks and not striking out a ton. Rutschman's already their best player. He is. It's not really close. That's how good this guy is. He's not making the highlight Manny Machado flash plays that we saw a decade ago when he arrived, but he just does everything really, really well. He even runs well for a catcher, right? But he's done everything well from those first 2.5 weeks where he needed to get his feet wet. He's been superb. So pretty cool for the Orioles to, most importantly, get the win on Sunday night. But Adley Rutschman featured prominently. We saw the Little League kids where he's having the Little League kids sign his jersey, which I just thought was a really cool move. And seeing some of the Orioles interact with the Little Leaguers and Mateo doing what he did and the Orioles getting a series win.
Brandon Hyde went down the hill, man. Maybe that's why he was a little loopy in the seventh inning.
Right. But like I said, most importantly, they're hanging tough and they needed a series win. We've seen this team the last couple weeks. They had the winning streak, a couple weeks back, but since then it's kind of been win one, lose one, win two, lose two. So they're hanging tough, but you look at the rest of this wild card race, Tampa Bay's, been on more of a roll here over the last week and a half or so. Toronto and Seattle, both 10 games above .500 as they, concluded the weekend. So it's not getting any easier in that way. So that's where it's important, even if you're not going to go on a long winning streak per se, win a series, right? You keep winning 2 out of 3, you're gonna be right there. You know, you're gonna have a chance as we get deeper into September. So that's the challenge for the Orioles right now. And they were up to the challenge on Sunday night. And what was a cool night for the city? I mean, we didn't talk about this in our Ravens segment, but the fact that both of Baltimore's teams featured on national TV, even if it was a lousy preseason game with the starters not playing, but Ravens and national TV, Orioles on national TV. Pretty cool night, and both teams get the win. But of course, the Orioles getting the win, much more prominent than the 22-game preseason winning streak. That doesn't mean anything. This win for the Orioles meant a lot because they were able to get a series.
Well, also a division win as well. Luke, I want to ask you about this, just to get off the team and the season and where we are. I jet in on these things, right? Like I kind of famously tell that the last time I went to a baseball game, an Orioles game, was before the plague. And it was Christmas in July night for a team that was going to lose 118 games where they were, it was snowing out in the outfield on bizarre lightsaber games with Star Wars and Force with you. And things that I don't know. I understand Boog Pow bobblehead night. I sort of understand wanting to play games in other places or Japan or play games in Puerto Rico or whatever. They've announced they're going to play games in London and in Paris. I don't know what they know what baseball is in Paris. That's fine. They'll get some nice sparkling wine while they're there and some chocolates and caramels. But the cornfield games, right? This Little League game, things that they would say, well, we couldn't play that White Sox game in the middle of Freddie Gray at Bowie because it wasn't a sanctioned major league, but whatever booja they come up with, they're coming up with these gimmicks, right? I'll start with the gimmick of playing a hockey game in a pond or a hockey game in, you know, Rich Stadium in Buffalo, on New Year's Day. But coming up, how do you feel about these things? Are they of any? Why didn't you go to Williamsport for the game other than watching the Ravens? Is it something that would excite you about doing that?
Oh yeah, I had a big regret. I couldn't. My niece, who of course is also my goddaughter, she turned one back in May. As you know, my brother-in-law had an accident and a long road to recovery that postponed her birthday party. The accident was about a week before his birthday. We had to make up for that on Sunday afternoon. So honestly, that probably, and as you mentioned, it's tough, when you're on the beat to not be able to watch the Ravens game at all. I mean, Travis Jones went down with a knee injury in the fourth quarter, even though it sounds like it's not major. But I kind of just made the call there, but didn't want to miss my niece's first birthday party, which was 3 months in the making of being rescheduled. But great event. And to answer your question, I love this. I mean, let's think about this. We all acknowledge and we all say it, and it drives me nuts on social media because it's at this point, it's like saying the sky is blue. The NFL's king, right? I mean, nothing even comes close to it in this country in terms of popularity of sporting events. We know that preseason games outdraw other sports regular season, sometimes other sports playoff games. I mean, that's just reality. But when you consider how many games the NFL has, the number of games of its product, it's a much smaller volume, right, compared to what baseball has. And you consider how many international games the NFL plays, right? The games that go to London, games that go to Mexico City. We're seeing a game in Germany this year. If the NFL sees the value and the novelty of doing that, and that's not, even if you don't have a passport, even if you're not going on the road, there's still an interest, right? I mean, there's still that cool factor of a London game on at 9:30 here local time where you can get up and have brunch and kind of experience what West Coast Americans experience as far as morning football. But for me, when I look at Major League Baseball, you have so much product. You have so many games that, let's face it, are weeknight games and games that just don't get a lot of interest. Even in markets where the team's really, really good, they're still going to have nights where they're only going to draw 14,000 on a Monday night in the third week of April. So you have all that product, and I think you need to make sure that you don't test the sanctity of the schedule. You want to still make sure that it's legitimate from a competitive standpoint. I've heard some people say, well, they should do something with the Sandlot. Well, it needs to be a legitimate field, right? I mean, it needs union approval and all that, but as far as these venues with Field of Dreams, with Little League, I would love to see. And I don't know what the reality is for each of these venues, but my understanding is there are five remaining stadiums that were Negro League stadiums, Negro League venues. I would love to see a game played regular season, a game that matters played there. I would love to see them, instead of just making it the exhibition that it's been for years and years, play a legitimate regular season game at Doubleday Field in Cooperstown. You know, do that, make that part of your Hall of Fame weekend where you actually have a real game there. I mean, the NFL plays a Hall of Fame game, but it's in August, right? I mean, we know it's not a game that counts, but Major League Baseball has a chance where they could actually do that and actually have a game that means something, you know, and tie it to whoever's the most likely to be inducted. I mean, you know, the year that Cal Ripken went into the Hall of Fame, you know, it would have been awesome.
The Orioles and the Padres.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine something like, and again, and now with the way scheduling is going to be, with the way they're changing it, you're going to play every team every year, right? I mean, you're going to have a much more balanced schedule. So the possibility of doing something like that, even with it being an interleague situation, there's so many exciting things you can do. And again, I think you need to be careful not to do too much of it. I think hockey ran into this a little bit. The stadium series expanded a little bit too much to the point where, you know, someone like me, who, you know, I'm not a hockey guy, but when they first started doing that, the New Year's Classic, I thought it was awesome, but it got to the point they started doing stadium games all the time. It loses its novelty. So you have to be a little judicious with it in terms of how much you do, but I love it. I really do, because I think there are a variety of ideas that you can have, and, you know, you don't want to make it where it loses its, you know, its special factor. The novelty of it, you don't want it to wear off. So maybe that's where you don't play a Field of Dreams game every year. You kind of have a rotation of different ideas like that over time. But I think it's a great idea, because I think a lot of these things translate well to TV. And we know how important TV is to sports in this day and age, and how good that experience is, with the NFL kind of being king of that. So I love it. And I thought it was really well done on Sunday night. I mean, let's face it. I mean, say what you want about Rob Manfred, but the commissioner was there. Now, former president was there. I didn't actually see it because I was flipping back and forth. I don't know if he made it on camera, but from what I understand, Mike Mussina was there, of course, not far away from Williamsport as far as where he lives. So, you know, you had dignitaries there, the kids. I mean, it was cool. It was a great celebration of baseball and a great reminder of just how global the game is. I mean, that's where baseball has an advantage over some of the other sports that are the most popular here in America. You know, the NFL, yeah, it's making some footprints elsewhere, but it's still overwhelmingly an American game. Baseball is very much a global game. So you have all these little league teams from various parts of the world, and you have, you know, look at the Orioles and the Red Sox, how many international players are playing for those teams. So, it's just, it was a great celebration for the game, and it's something that I'd like to see them branch out and do a little more of that. Like I said, you have some historic Negro League venues, and I understand there'll probably be some work that needs to be done to upgrade and make sure it's a certain major league standard, as it should be. You know, you don't want to jeopardize the players or anything like that. And you want to make it as fun for whatever number of fans you can have there, but love to see them continue with that, because these are the types of ideas that are attracting kids. I mean, the idea that a kid, you know, even though they probably couldn't stay up for the entire game, but they were tuning in at 7 o'clock and they're seeing the clips of all these kids rubbing elbows with Adley Rutsch and company, that's how you help sell the future of your game. I mean, guys like you and me, we watch, right? I mean, because it's just what we've always done. And baseball's, It really is about attracting a younger audience. That doesn't mean you have to change the game entirely. It just means have some creativity. Think about it in terms of, let's look at this pragmatically speaking. And I'm not saying that the Orioles deserve credit for this, but that's, just look at the fact that the Orioles drew 33,000 on Friday night. They drew just under 35,000 on Saturday night because of the Boog Powell bobblehead night, and they're playing the Red Sox. You know, the gate in Williamsport on Sunday was just under 2,500. You know, I mean, owners might be thinking in very, you know, myopic short-sightedness and saying, oh, you just lost out on a Red Sox attendance there. But think how much that potentially grew the Orioles brand in terms of Adley Rutschman getting some national attention there, and Jorge Mateo getting some national attention there. And, oh, yeah, your team's in the wild card race, and they just – they had their first national TV ESPN game in about 4 years.
Well, they got to tell their story to a larger audience, right?
Exactly. So that's where there's way more value there than losing one home date against the Red Sox that you're hoping in the coming years, because you've rebuilt this thing and you look like you're in much better shape, you're going to make that up. So that's where baseball as a whole, the 30 owners, the commissioner, have to look at this thing and say, these games have value, even if it's not going to be your quote normal gate that you have for a typical home game in your home ballpark, because you know that was fun. And again, the Orioles, it's difficult to quantify it right now, but I guarantee you that they got some value out of what happened on Sunday night in a big picture sense as well, just being in that game and being able to participate and have that exposure.
Well, call me a snob, but I'd rather see a game in Paris or London. You know, I've been
sure.
Well, I've spent a lot of nights in Williamsport. It's not that romantic, especially on the Montoursville side. I will reach to Mark Messina and Mike Messina, see what they thought of their little town getting turned into, you know, Mayberry for at least one Sunday night. Hey, the Orioles won. They are in the pennant race. Just a look ahead at home and away and schedule as we get ready for this always important third preseason game with the Commanders this week. I mean, the Orioles really do take spotlight here because the Ravens aren't going to play a meaningful game for 3 weeks. They're going to very much be in the pennant race when the Ravens get together with Joe Flacco up in the swamps of Jersey at the Meadowlands on the 11th. A couple games back. I mean, they're in the race, but this is a time where we're wondering where the cavalry is and Stowers, and you talk about Rutschman, you talk about Mateo, you talk about Stars. I mean, Dean Kramer on national television in a little league park showing up in August and pitching well. You wouldn't have given him in the rotation a year and a half ago, right? So there has been movement here all along the way. But if your expectation is a true pennant race getting up into the second and third Ravens game, these next couple weeks is – you haven't bought into the soap operas, you could get on board right now, start watching them, because it's exciting.
Yeah. It's exciting and it's important. I mean, they're going to host the White Sox this week. You know, Giolito, Lynn, Johnny Cueto, you know, starting the three games for the Sox. I mean, the Orioles.
One of the teams they're going to scuffle with, too.
No question.
They're all in this wild card thing together.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just that series, for example, and I'll briefly go down the schedule for the next couple of weeks after that. But you look at that game, I mean, this is the difference between maybe putting the White Sox really on the ropes big time. You know, if you take 2 out of 3, you sweep them, you've improved your own standing and you've really harmed them. If the White Sox come in and take 2 out of 3 or heaven forbid they sweep, then they're right back in it. And the Orioles, then at that point, it's like, okay, you better get on a roll now because you might be 4 and 5.
4 and 5 games back
with that many teams,
place.
Right?
Yeah.
With that many teams involved, sure. So big series against the White Sox, and then you know they go to Houston for 3. They go to Cleveland for 3. I mean, it's not going to get any easier, right? So you have that road trip,
these
and then
are
you come.
Teams they would see in October, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you look at what's coming up, I mean, I mentioned the White Sox, and clearly they've, you know, relative to their talent level, I think most people would say they've underperformed, you know, this year. And Tony La Russa has had a ton of scrutiny with and issuing intentional walks on 1-2 counts and just weird stuff. But you know, beyond them, you kind of look at the schedule, White Sox at Houston, at Cleveland. Okay. Theoretically you get a respite with Oakland coming to town. You know, you better win that series and take care of business there because it doesn't get any easier after that. I mean, Toronto home against Boston, you go to DC in mid September, you go to Toronto in mid September. So other than those Oakland and National series, I mean, everyone you're facing is either in the playoff field at this point, or they're really jockeying just like the Orioles are.
If they get there, they'll earn it. There'll be no doubt about that.
Oh, no question. No question.
We're
and
not
that's
call,
the big thing.
Call
and,
it a cheat, you know, cheat yeah. get in if they get in at 6. No way. I mean,
no.
It's a tournament.
Well,
let's get
when
in.
you lose 110 games a year ago, there's nothing cheap about getting in. I mean, you know, we can talk about the third wild card and in a big picture sense. Yeah. You know, this shouldn't be.
You talk about things that Major League Baseball is doing to improve it. Improving it is getting people interested in it.
Sure.
Period.
Sure. No question about it. So it's fun. This team's continuing to battle. They're hanging tough. I do anticipate, I think we are going to see Gunnar Henderson at some point, you know, around the corner. And that'll be even more exciting. I mean, the guy who replaced Adley Rutschman as the top prospect in baseball, at least according to a few outlets. So, you know, that's pretty good, right? I mean, you're talking about the first two guys that Mike Elias drafted. One has already graduated and is right there, could be rookie of the year, even even having been called up in mid-May. And then Gunnar Henderson, who's, you know, a popular pick as the top prospect in baseball right now, could see him called up for the stretch run here. That's a pretty good start to the Elias era when we're starting to look at this thing now in terms of judging how those draft picks are doing. So
if you make the playoffs and it's because Rutschman came in, he's got to be rookie of the year, right? I mean, like,
even if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, he's been so good and everything about him offensively, his pitch framing numbers are outstanding. Like I said, he even runs well for a catcher. I mean, he's very, very polished. And, you know, the skeptic would say that, well, he should be, right? Or the cynic would say he should be. That's why he was first overall. But we know that there are plenty of first overall picks in the history of the game that don't pan out so well. So for Rutschman to come in and, you know, scuffle for 3 weeks, but since then he's looked the part of an all-star catcher. He's looked the part as the Orioles' best player. You know, I mean, he's been that good. He's been everything that was advertised, you know, since those first few weeks where, you know, needed a little bit of an adjustment. So good reminder, as you mentioned, you know, with Kyle Stowers, Gunnar Henderson, if and when he arrives, could struggle for a week or two. That's okay. But for me, what's so exciting about this, even if they don't make it, even if they come up a little bit short, this is such a good experience for these young players to be in the middle of not a pennant race, but a playoff race, right? A wild card chase. It's great value, and valuable experience for these young kids to be part of that. And that's why for me, you know, if they get in this year, great, you know, that's gravy for me. That's where the excitement level just ramps up that much more for the off season and what you're doing to augment this team. And then especially in 2023, but they've got a shot. So why not? You know, I mean, to borrow a phrase from yesteryear, why not? I mean, it's just, it's been remarkable to see what they've done. And
it makes me want to hang in tough Fruit Loops and Mickey Tettleton.
I know, right?
Talking like that, you know,
especially when you're talking about a catcher, right? I mean, we'll have to find out if Adley Rutschman likes Fruit Loops or not, but it was definitely a fun Sunday night. And again, a cool night for Baltimore sports fans with the Ravens and the Orioles. And hey, they both won too. How about that?
Somebody tried to sell me Fruit Loop ice cream on the Eastern Shore. I think I was over there. But yeah, it's crazy what they're putting in ice cream and on donuts these days. Luke is around. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him on the Ravens trail this week getting ready for the Commanders. I've seen Commander stuff on rears in you know, Ocean City and all around the DC Beltway going to concerts. We are also getting ready for some home baseball this week. Luke will be at the ballpark getting ready for the White Sox. You'll have everything there but elotes. But the good news is you can get a hot dog with some crab stuff on top of it as well. I'm going to be out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, eating better than that, at Liberatore's on Wednesday, at Rocksaw Grill in Westminster on Friday. A little Carroll County double dose this week. And then we're back at Costas on Tuesday to conclude the tour with future Governor Wes Moore, a Baltimore Banner reporter Pam Wood, as well as Mickey Coachella joining me in Dundalk. He knows the way to Dundalk. He assured me he knew where Costas was, so he wanted to have a crab cake with me, so we'll get that going this week. Good stuff as we get ready for the beginning of football season and get ready for what's the first true pennant race around here in a long, long time. We are WNSD. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.